Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith.
It's in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, and it's this picture that John sees in heaven. And he says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, talking about God, who lives forever and ever, it says the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And it says they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And this is a powerful picture, because these 24 elders were kings. They had a crown. They had authority. And you know, in our ministry, we talk about that, the authority that God gives us, right? We're sons, we're daughters, we belong to God. This is our identity. We have power, we have courage, we have faith, all these things that God gives to us. But the powerful thing about this is that they knew that when they were in the presence of God, what they needed to do. And they cast their crowns. And I want to challenge you in your worship as you come before God. Man, God does great things for us. There's a position that God has called us to. But we must understand, always keep in mind, who the King of Kings is, who the Lord of Lords is. And they cast it. They didn't just set it gently. It was as if to say, this is nothing. I may have some type of position. I may have some type of authority. But in the presence of God, this has nothing. This is nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And it says, this is what they did. And this is what you and I will do. Always remind that as God is working in your life, God is doing things in your life, that when you come into the presence of God, that stuff has to bow. It has to go to the feet. You got to cast it. Don't carry it in this place. Don't carry it into the presence of God. Right? All that we've done, good and bad, just throw it there at the rightful place and honor God. And that is what we do this afternoon. And so I want to challenge you, as we're going to pray over our service today, I want you just in that mind, whatever it is in your life, just bring it before God. Throw it, cast it at his feet. Don't carry that. Honor God today. We got a lot going on. We had a good week, a bad week. We have position. We're low in position. Whatever it is, we're in the key presence of God today, this afternoon, and God wants to speak. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. God, we come before you today. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you. We cast our crowns before you, because we know that you are the mighty God, the living God. You are holy. You are worthy to be praised. We are thankful for grace that you have given us, undeserved mercy, undeserved grace, undeserved love, but you give it to us, Lord, because you are God and you do love us and you do care about us. God, you do have us in mind. And so we worship you today. We worship you. We put our worries at your feet. Cast your worries at his feet this afternoon. Whatever it is, give it to him today. He's got it in control. He's got it in control. He's got it in control. Let the pride go. Cast it at his. You have a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge. God's done a lot of great things in your life. Cast it at his feet. We're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your presence. Help us to never take that for granted. Help us to never take our relationship with you for granted. But help us to know, God, it is a loving relationship. It is a worthy relationship. We thank you today, God. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Give them a quick thanks today. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated this afternoon. Glad you're with us. And I hope you came ready for the word today. I believe God does have a few things for us and wants to speak. And welcome. This is your first time to Keeping It Real Church, and glad you're here on this day. Let me get situated here. So I have a few scriptures I want to go over this afternoon, and I believe that God wants to speak to us today. I'm going to include you in on the challenge that he's working on me. So, you know, my thing is, as I'm ministering, it's what God is working in my life. And so as you know that, I don't come from a place of having it all together, knowing it all together. I just know that what God does in me, and I want to share it to you, you know. I want to give it to you. So these scriptures here, I'm going to challenge you because you know me. I'm not a confrontational guy, but these things may confront you today in your spirit, in your walk with God. Okay, so I'm not going to let you escape. After God got on my case, he's going to get on your case this afternoon, okay? But I believe it will help. I believe it will help. It's nothing crazy. It is things that God has given us, the ability. Now, like we shared this afternoon, I believe that as the children of God, we have authority, we have power. It's just for us to recognize that, understand that, and see that through the Word of God. There's a lot that he has for us. I always say this. I believe that we underestimate who we really are as children of God. And I like to say, you're more powerful than you think. And so that can be a good thing and a tough thing for you to recognize as well, because that's encouraging that, hey, I got more, that there's more that I can do. I'm actually, because I'm a child of God, I'm more powerful than I think. But there's also a responsibility that's on you as well. Because God has given us authority and he's given us power, he's given us courage, given us his spirit, there's also a responsibility that you and I have that impacts our living, impacts our relationship with God. And so I just want to share these things with you. But for you and I, we have to understand that in the kingdom of God, the love of God should be the position, the love that he has for you and I is the position that we live from and we work from. Okay, this makes all the difference, because you know this, if you know someone that loves you and you know that for sure, when they challenge you or correct you or things go on in your life, you're not so much, you're not discouraged. You don't become hate because you know they love you. It's coming from a good place. Does that make sense? When you don't know that about someone, you're kind of off about that. You're like, I don't know if you're trying to kill me, if you're trying to hurt me or distract me, because, you know, you're kind of sideways with me. But when you're loved, when you know that, you can receive. And I saw God has painted that picture. Everything comes out. His discipline is because he loves us, right? As it says, the Bible talks about that. His correction, his grace, his favor, his mercy, it all comes. Him dying on the cross, for God so loved the world. Jesus came from a position of love. And you and I have to live in that. And a lot of times the devil and life and the enemy will distract us from that. And we think that either God is punishing us or he's not there for us or we're going. And that's not a good and healthy position, because when you're insecure, what do? You react. When you're insecure, when you're not sure about somebody, when you're not sure if you're loved, you act and you grow defensive, or you become hateful, or you put things into place, you put up a wall because you're insecure. In the kingdom of God, we cannot be like that, because our strength comes from the love of God. Right? It's not that we love God, he first loved us. Everything's based off of that. And you have to receive that by faith. Because I know sometimes people struggle with that, but you got to receive that by faith. You have to receive that, God, you do love me. He's like, I showed you how many times I got to tell you that I love you. I've done the thing. I've shown you how much, for God's sake, I gave my only begotten son. Right? I showed you how much I'm into, how much I love you. And so we have to accept that. That fact, right? And just a side note, because we experience something difficult in life, right, doesn't mean that God loved us. Sometimes it's just due to our decisions, right, that we made. So you got to have a balance of that. Oh, God isn't, and it's not that. Sometimes it's just your decisions that we've made. And so we've got to work from that position. You've got to live. You've got to function from that. That God, you are into me, God, that you love me. You have a, you know, and so that you can really live the life that God has called you to live. Right? And you can live with authority, you can live with that power, you can live with security and confidence, and you're able to do things. And so if you're not able to receive that and have that and hold to that, you will struggle in this walk with God. Right? And it's just by faith. It's by faith that you receive it. And God will show you throughout your life, as a lot of us probably know us today, different times, that God does love you through the small things, through the big things. He'll remind you. Okay? And so there's a whole lot we can go on about that. But with that in mind, I want to challenge you with these scriptures here's the thing. A lot of times we are praying for things, for a breakthrough in our life. We're praying for deliverance. When, just hear me out, it's not so much that you need to pray much anymore. You have the responsibility, right? You're asking God to deliver me, help me in this mindset, help me in this thing. When it's not so much the prayer, you don't need to pray more. The thing is you and I need to respond either in obedience Or we need to use the spirit, right, of self-discipline. Brother brought up something really powerful this Wednesday, and it was really good, and it got my mind stirring about this, because I began to think about this, that in our lives, a lot of times we deal with things that isn't so much that you need to pray for anymore. It's just that you need to start activating and walking out what the Spirit has given you. And that's the spirit of self-discipline. What did the Bible say? God didn't give us a spirit of fear, power, love, sound mind, or you need another version, self-discipline. So he gave that to you and me. And that's what I'm talking about. That is a powerful concept. That's encouraging, but at the same time, it could be challenging, because a lot of times our battles has to do with we're not activating, using, walking in what the Spirit has given us, and that's self-discipline. And if you could look at it from that perspective, that is a powerful thing that God has given us. Because a lot of our troubles have to do with the lack of self-discipline. The lack of it. It's just the lack of self-discipline. It's the lack of getting yourself into control, controlling your mind. The Bible says you renew your mind according to the word. You renew your mind. And this is the Spirit. So God's like, up here, I've given you this. This is the Spirit I've given you. So walk this out and live this out. Be self-disciplined in your life. And I'm telling you, that challenged me this week, because now when I wake up, instead of thinking, oh, I don't have the control, I don't have the power, it's like, no, God, you gave me discipline. You give me this spirit. So that helps me to think, like, when I'm going against my battles, my mindset, the things that I got to wrestle with in my daily life, I know that the power is within me to overcome this. Does that make sense? And it's not by my own strength. It's something that God has given us because we put our faith in him, we trust in him. Does that make sense today? So that's yours. And one of the greatest lies that we can live by, I don't know if we created it or we put it in, is that we don't have the ability. That we don't have the ability. And a lot of times we preach that in church, and there's a part of that is to the extent it is true. We don't have responsibility. We don't have the ability to save ourselves. That comes from what Jesus did on the cross, right? That's only salvation is done through him, right? But there's a lot of things that you and I can do. And that's what makes you and I so powerful, is what God has given us. Does that make sense this afternoon? The scripture says, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to 24, 27, it says, do you not know, Paul writes, is that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. And everyone who completes, now think about this. He's challenging you and I. He's telling us to run appropriately. All right, he's not saying, just for sake of today's conversation, pray more, read more. He's not, that's not what he's saying right here. He says, you got to run this race, right? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He says, therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. He says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And in here, I kind of researched that, and a lot of commentary said that it's not necessary that he was, you know, whipping himself in the back and things like that. But what he's talking about is to the extent of what he has to do in his life in order to run the race that God has called him to run. And he's putting that responsibility not on God, he's putting that on himself. And one thing our pastor always shares is a personal responsibility. The same thing in the kingdom of God. And it's easy in the kingdom of God to be caught up in that God's going to do everything for me, right? That's a mindset that sometimes we have. And it just creeps in because God is so gracious and so wonderful. And he's done so much that we think our whole life is like that. But it's not. And some of us know that, where there's comes a point in time as we mature that we have to take responsibility for how we're living. And Paul's and given this challenge. He's saying, look, this is your race that God has called you to run, and you got to run it right. And he says, and so he goes to the extent, hey, I understand the race that I'm running, and so I've got to discipline myself to the extent that I won't miss out on what God has for me. That's our job. Again, this is encouraging, it's discouraging, all in the same mix. Because there's a lot that we limit ourselves simply, not because God doesn't want to, not because God isn't moving, not because you're not equipped and enabled to do so. It's just simply we have not activated and worked this muscle in our lives of self-discipline. And this is what it takes. And I want to tell you, because it's not a special service that you're going to find this miraculous deliverance. There are some things in which you do, but there are a lot of things in which God says, that's for you to do. That's for you to do. Ask yourself this. Maybe you're praying about something that you're just saying, God, and he's like, and you're praying for years about it. Have you ever asked yourself, is it something you need to do that you're not exercising, that you're not going so far as to say, hey, I'm putting in work on myself, in my mind, in my heart, so that I don't miss out on. Does anyone have a relationship with God like that? I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. That's the challenge right now. I think in today's generation, our age, right now, that we would have that mentality. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to go to church all these years and miss out on what God has for me, because you can do that. Simply because I wasn't willing to activate the discipline, the self-discipline that, that God has given me. And this is our responsibility. The hope about that is that you can go and you can fight for that. That this is something that God has given you and I to have. So you can spend your day, I want to activate and work on my self-discipline. You can make that your goal. Because that is something that God has given us. This is not a motivational speech. This is something that you have been given by the Spirit of God to go and activate and to work that. Let that be your hope for a lottery win. You've just won a spiritual lottery. You really have. You and I have. To have self-discipline, woo. Some of you are like, man, I mean, $1 million would be nice, a couple million, but I need the self-discipline to manage that. I get $1 million, you might die the next day because you don't spend it right. Self-discipline. Self-discipline will get you where you need to go. God wasn't joking about these things. He wasn't playing. These are the things I've given you. Right? I want to succeed. I want to be successful in life. Do you have the self-discipline to do it? It's not that God is not able. Do you have the self-discipline to get behind the books, to be faithful to a job? I want a great relationship. Do you have the discipline to manage a healthy relationship, to say the right things, to change who you are and how you think and how you treat people? I want to further my education. Do you have the discipline to do that? Right? I want to lose weight. Do you have the discipline to do that? I sure don't. Not right now. In due time. In due time. But that's real. Do you have the self-discipline to do that? It's not a thing of God not doing it, because God said, I bless you. I got it. Seek me above all else. I give all these things. I got these things for you. Right? We live in this United States. We're not living in a third world country. We have a lot of things going for it. It's the self-discipline aspect. Do you have the self-discipline to do it? God, I want to have a relationship with you. Okay. I know a lot of people, y'all want a relationship with God, but do you have the self-discipline to hit the Bible every morning and to pray? It's simple, just simple. It's nothing crazy. It's simple. Do you have that discipline? I want to know God more. I want to be able to function in my spiritual gifts. I want to function in the gifts that God has given me. Well, are you willing to have the time to go and see what that means in your life? Because it ain't just going to come. It's not just going to show up. Some of you have amazing gifts. God has the gifts, right? We believe the gifts of prophecy in your life, of healing. You have spiritual gifts that God wants to use, but they'll never come to light because you didn't activate self-discipline. Does that make sense today? And so you got to work those things out. That is something that God has given us. That is our responsibility. And some scriptures to talk about how Jesus brought these up. I'll just go down them. You can mark it down. And in a note, too, if I know some of you are new here and you're just starting your relationship with God, a great way is on the services just to write down the scriptures that you hear. And when you go home, read those for the week. Right? It's just a side note. It's helpful. Instead of thinking, well, how am I going to start in the Bible? How am I going to start reading? Just start with these. You know, we do the research up here, so you can go and we're helping you out. And from that, you'll see how God will expand you and you'll start reading more. Right, Matthew 6:24. These are some, and before we read these scriptures, a part of this self-discipline, a part of going this, is really combating and going against a double-minded spirit. It's this double-mindedness that's, and we'll read these scriptures. You and Carol shared that this week with me. But the things is double-mindedness in our walk with God. This will kill you. This will disrupt self-discipline. Because one of the things is when you start on this track and you say, God, I want to seek this out, that sometimes what will happen immediately a lot of times is you're going to face resistance. And the minute the thing that you'll think and you'll go back to is like, I'm doing something wrong. Right? This isn't right. No, this isn't true. That's not the case. Right? It's because you're activating, you're working on something that takes time to develop. And what you got to understand is that the devil does not enjoy that you are deciding to do in your life. Right? So you got to, there's the opposition. So here's a couple of scriptures here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus said that he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And it's talking about serving. Money's not bad. It's just serving it. Right? You can't serve both. And he says, the powerful thing about it is that you'll despise. Now, this is real. And I'll be honest with myself, and I will share this. As I'm me personally, I'm working on my master's degree. And the field that I'm in, I can see the money side. Right? This is just in this particular. I can see the financial gain. And there's a lot of money. One guy put it, he said, that's Ferrari money. I like that. I was like, the field that I'm getting into, he said, if you get there, there's Ferrari money. Now, and so there's that side for me, and it's like, man, that's a financial gain. But then I know who God has called me to be, okay, in my life. And this is just an example from mine. And I see these two directions. And I will be honest with you, there are moments in my life in which it has crossed my mind, like, man, if I didn't have ministry, what could I do? Right? Or in my relationship with God, if I could just do what I wanted to do. And there's a part of me that says, that can be, and I can feel the draw to go that direction to say that, well, maybe I'm choosing the wrong thing. I haven't come to that conclusion. God has helped me that I'm not coming to that conclusion. I know what God has called me to do. You know, I know all that. So don't worry about me on that area. But the challenge is there, that there's this direction to go this way. And to see that, and there's the easy part to say, why in the world am I coming to church Wednesdays, Sundays, I'm doing all this, I ain't getting paid for it, and all that type of thing. It's easy to go down that road. But that's not what it's about, right? And so that's that challenge, and so you can despise, right? And so he says, you cannot serve both things. And in our life, there are things you cannot serve both. There are restrictions as a child of God. There is. And there is a thing, and there are things you cannot partake in. There are things that you cannot do, and it's different for everybody here today, but there are things that you cannot do because you are a child, you are living for God. I want to save this for a men's night, but I want to share the scripture. Paul tells Timothy, he says, look, don't get caught up in pursuing right money, all these things, the things of the world. He says, and the challenge to him is, but you, man of God, right? He says, don't pursue that. And it's off the basis of you, man of God, of you having a relationship with God. Instead, you choose love, endurance, faithfulness, all these other things. He's giving him a restriction. Timothy's a young man. And he says, but you, man of God, it's different for you. And the same thing what God has for us is different. But you, daughter of God, you, man of God, you, woman of God, you, son of God, is a difference. And what I need you to pursue is something else. And remember, the promise that we have, though, is that he says, if you seek me, right, in my kingdom, everything else will be added unto you. So he's telling us, like, look, I want you to seek me above, right, me first. I'll add these things unto you in my way. But we can't serve, so we got to challenge ourselves. That is a constant fight. I've been living for God for a long time, been raised in church, but that's still a fight there because we're constantly pulled. I want to take a little detour right here for a minute. Because I want to speak to those of you, you have lived for God for some time. Many times the greatest mistakes and the most detrimental, most hurtful decisions that were made in men and women's lives in the Bible, it did not happen necessarily in their youth or when they started living for God. Their mistakes, their bad decisions happened when they had lived for God for some time. Look at it. Biggest one we know is King David. Bad decisions didn't happen when he was out there in the field and he fought the lion, fought the bear, he beat up Goliath. Man, his start was awesome, straight. He was taking care of business. His most costly decision happened when he was at the top of his game. When he had lived for God for some time, when he saw the victory and he saw the deliverance and he saw the help. And you can go through the whole Bible. It didn't happen when they were young. It was very rare. But when things happened and kings made bad decisions or the children of God made bad decisions, it wasn't in the beginning. It was in the middle of the relationship with God. And so I want to challenge you on this as well. Sometimes your double-mindedness is not necessarily in the beginning. It's right now. You've lived for God for some time. And you've got to be careful. You've got to watch yourself because the decisions that you make right now are more costly. And this happens in life as well. In our youth, we can make costly decisions, but a lot of times we have time to overcome that. It's those decisions that you make mid and later on that cost you. And so you and I have to be wary of that. We have to watch ourselves that we don't allow the enemy to either or to allow life to conflict us, and we become double-minded in a time such as this, in an area and stage of our life that you're in now. Because we know this, when we first started living for God, it was exciting. There's a lot of, when you felt like you can take over the world. But as you build your, as you begin to build your relationship, that excitement like that wasn't there. It changed, it shifted. And so that's just a side note, okay? Just watch out for that in your life. You've been living for God some time. Don't let your guard down. Put it back up. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, man, I honor God. For me, growing up, as I was able to honor God in my youth, I did. It's funny, though, now that 30, 31 is when things of the world look more entertaining. I was telling her, I was like, man, there are things that when I was young, I was like, please, that ain't bothering me. But now at this stage of my life, I'll be real, it's a little different. And I'm like, I lived for God for some time. And she's like, baby, what can I pray for? And I said, well, you can just pray that I don't lose sight of who God is in my life. Because those are things. I'm like, it's right now. Why? I was cool. I had the courage and the faith. But now at this stage, it's different. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about, or you might come up against that in anything. Relationships, your family, whatever it may be, don't lose sight of God. So you can't serve both. You can't do it, right? You got to trust and believe God enough that when you do seek him, he'll bless you for that, right? You have to trust him enough to take him on his word that when you seek him, he will prosper you. And that's one of the things in this world is that the two options is for some reason when we serve God, it takes time. Because we got to be patient, let God open the doors. When you're not living according to God, it's interesting how you can probably make a straight line to what you want. And it's quicker and it's faster. Just like the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. You don't need to go to the cross. I'll give you everything that the cross will give you right now. That was his temptation, right? But Lord, he knew that, there's something different that you can't give me. And so, and for you and I, it takes time. And so we have to trust God enough that if I seek you, that you will add unto me the things that I need in this life. And the things that he wants to add to you, not what you want to add. Well, God, I would like this route and that route. You got to be able to trust him enough to say, if I seek you, you're going to take care of me. And God always takes care of us. Best believe that. He always takes care of us. And so that leads us into our next scripture in James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, look, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And so he's painting this picture here. You can't do that. When you come to God, you have to expect that he's going to bless you. And that's the thing about double-mindedness is that you can live this life, but you don't live it fully. You live double-mindedly because you're not willing to step out in faith and trust the word of God, and so you're reserved and you're hesitant, and that creates a very confused person. And you're stuck in the middle. And so you get a little bit of God, but not enough to keep, you get a little bit of the world, but not, and you're playing with fire, right? You're gonna play with fire, and at some point, you're gonna be pulled, and a lot of times, you're gonna be pulled by the world than you are by the things of God when you're double-minded. Almost 99.9% of the time, the world wins out. And so what the Bible is saying is that you can't do that. Don't be do that. When you're praying for God, you've got to step out in faith and believe what you're asking him to do. And because it takes time and it's not happening right away, you got to hold to this scripture and say, I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to doubt you. Either you spoke this to me, I read it in your word, whatever it was, I'm not going to doubt you. Don't be double-minded. right? We don't like double-minded people. If you, you know, you say one thing, someone changes up on you, that we don't like that. And so in order to live successfully, right, in the kingdom of God, are you going to trust his word on that particular area in your life? And a lot of times what it looks like is just you stepping out, right? Just stepping. You have to make that decision. God, I'm going to choose to step out in faith and trust you, or I'm not. I'm going to trust you, or I'm not. And that goes across the board, right? Either you're going to trust, right, what God's doing in the ministry and keeping it real. Either you're going to trust that person you're willing to give your heart to. You got to make that choice. You can't be double-minded with them. You say, okay, I'm going to trust you. I've been hurt before, but you can't be reserved, and you know, you got to be fully committed, all those things. And so it's powerful when you don't allow yourself to be double-minded. Trust God. Trust him. When you do this, if you don't have this, you can never fully lean with confidence on God and his promises. And when you're fully leaning on God's promises, it creates a confident person, right? A success in the kingdom of God, right? You produce results in your relationship with God because I'm truly, faithfully trusting in God and what he's going to do in my life. And you look at the word, that's what he calls for all the time. Truly trusting in him, trusting in his word, trusting in his goodness, trusting in his faithfulness. And maybe you wrestle with that today. Make a decision in your heart to trust him. And do everything that you can with the spirit that God has given you of self-control to maintain that and fight for that and contend for that. And I'm going to close with this. And as if Angel can come and get on them keys for a minute. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, the Bible says to submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right, and I love that. Submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves unto him and his word. You'll never see what God has for you unless you completely submit yourself to him and humble yourself before him. If you want to see what God has for you, you have to submit. You have to be willing to humble yourselves before him, before God. And I love it because it's when you do that is when you resist the devil. It says, when you submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it comes off of that is you got to submit yourselves. You've been attacked by the enemy. You've been attacked by thoughts. You've been attacked by things going on in your life, addictions, mindsets, whatever it is. Have you submitted yourself to God completely? Have you fully submitted yourself? That's your He says, you submit yourself before God. And let it be an honesty thing with yourself. Ask yourself honestly, honestly, have you done that? Have you submitted yourself to God in this particular area of your life? And God will show you, I haven't submitted. That's why you're still double-minded. That's why there's no impact, no growth in that other area. And a lot of you here, you do have areas where you've submitted yourself to God. And you saw the growth from it. You saw the prosperity from it. You saw the deliverance because of it. So you know what it is in your life. Man, I've seen it. Or there was a time and season of your life in which you did. Right? So don't forget that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of what God wants to do. Don't lose sight of submitting yourself before him. Allow that, activate that spirit of self-control. Meditate on that. What is God speaking to you about that? How does that look in your life? Are you walking in that? Are you walking in that? Are you walking in that? Because we have a responsibility as well. I know God's not limited. I know that. You ever ask yourself, God, I know, you know, it's because there's a part of our responsibility. God's given you the spirit. Activate it. Walk in it. Let it produce in your life. Be a man and woman of self-control. Let that mark you. And you'll realize, you'll see. You really begin to see what God has done and is doing in your life. Because a lot of times, because of that double-mindedness, because we haven't, we have complained a lot. You have complained and you're putting blame on people or things or even God. And God's like, I have nothing to do with that. That person has nothing to do with that. And we're questioning him on something like, for instance, we can be questioning his love. We can be questioning his plans. And we're questioning him when those questions wouldn't be there if you would just submit yourself. Those thoughts of depression, anxiety would not be there. Hear me out, please. Hear me out. Those would not be there if you would submit yourself to God. There's a lot of thoughts, a lot of things that you're experiencing mentally that would not be there if you just humble yourself and work this out in your life. It's like a lot of times we can be dealing with things that have no right. It shouldn't be there in your life. And we've accepted them. We're just living with them. And God's saying, look, just submit yourself to me. Submit yourselves then to God. And you'll see how the cloud goes. The focus you have. Right? The peace. Say, God, because I submitted myself here. I submitted myself here. And I close with this. Do not forget, as you submit yourself, we talked about last Sunday about King Asa. King Asa had two different battles. The first battle, he trusted God and against an army that outnumbered him, and God delivered him. The second time he comes up against one, he doesn't trust in God. He takes things into his own hands for some odd reason. And God deals with him and says, because you didn't trust me, now you only defeated one, you can't defeat the other. And he tells him, that's a foolish thing that you did. So in your submitting, and you make that decision, God, I'm going to trust you, right? The nature, the habit is to then walk away from that. Either when we have spiritual success, when we're growing, when the answer is taking longer, when the door we thought was going to open has not opened yet. And so we get discouraged and we don't hold to what God has shown us, to the decision that we made. And all of a sudden we come up to the next battle when you should have victory. The word to you is, you've done a foolish thing. I don't want that said. Because I didn't hold to what God was speaking and what God was doing in my life. Instead, I'd rather have defeated both things that I was supposed to defeat. And it was interesting because all I had to do was with King Asa trusting God again, holding on to what God had done for him in his past. That's all it was. Nothing shifted. It was the same God, same God, same God. But things transpired. Amen. Let's bow our heads just this afternoon, just to consider for a moment what God has been speaking to you. And I know he's been challenging you in your own life and own areas where you might be double-minded, where you feel yourself, you're going back and forth. And God is challenging, he's making it real to you. He's showing you today that you need to submit yourself in this area. But maybe you've been fighting God, or maybe it's a trust factor where you're like, God, I just don't know. But you, every time, he's always bringing to light what you need to do. But it's that trust, it's that faith, it's that full assuredness that God would bless you because of your decision. And I want to speak to that just as in your life is, trust God with it. It's not our responsibility to understand how it would turn out. What we need to do, what you need to do is trust God and take that step of faith. And two things might happen is sometimes the victory happens right away, or sometimes it's prolonged. But I want to challenge you, if the solution that God has for you is prolonged, don't get discouraged along the way. Hold to the decision that you made, to what God was speaking to you. Don't be double-minded. Trust God.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.